Okay, Das Tefillah number 60. Let's see what we are up to here. We're discussing the very, very extreme example of Yitzchak. Very, very extreme example of Yitzchak, which is so extreme that admittedly it seems troubling at times, the extent to which Yitzchak represented Yira, Din, the extent to which his entire life was characterized by fear of the Ribono Shel Olam. But just remember that we are not really asked to be Yitzchak. We're not also really asked to be Avraham. We're asked to be, as we'll learn, Mirtzah Hashem starting next week, we're probably asked to be more of a blend, which we find in Yaakov. But it is important that the two extremes be very clearly delineated so that we can understand what the combination, what bringing the two of them will look like. We said last week that Yira is the same letters as Re'iyah, that to fear is the same letters as to see, because basically Yira is being able to see something clearly. When one really is able, in a divine sense, to be able to know that a Kaddish Baruch Hu is there, if we were really aware of a Kaddish Baruch Hu fully, then of course we'd be terrified. Of course we'd be terrified to make a mistake. We'd feel like we were constantly in his presence, and we'd be almost afraid to move, lest we make some sort of a mistake right in front of our Maker. So as Reb Tzadok points out in various places in his writings, Yira and Re'iyah are very related. And again, what we're going to say tonight continues this extreme example that Yitzchak set, and next week we'll probably feel a little more comfortable in the realm of Yaakov. Basher im Yirani, why is it, why do we have this concept that a person cannot see God and live? Ki lo Yirani ha'adam v'chai. Basher im Yirani, because if a person would see me, would see God, im yitaleh ledargas chibur kazos gavoa, sheyuchal eros gilui shechina, if a person could actually, in their body, get to a place that they could really experience God, lehiot b'mitzius dveikozu, to really be connected to God, i efshelo la'odam b'hiyosu b'mareches haguf, v'lachen lo yichya. A person could no longer stay in their body. He doesn't explain why yet. If a person was able to be with God, they wouldn't be allowed to live. We see that statement, right? We know that Kadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe that if you see me, we'll have to kill you. It's not that. That's from a spy movie. It's not that as a punishment, for seeing God, you'll have to die. The point is, if you get that close to God, you can't remain in your body. Re'iyazu. Tfisas chayim shel dveika zu doreshes es tachlis hayira, hispatlus, mesiras hanefesh, hashbosas hachayim. Hashbosas hachayim. In other words, when a person is in their body, they have more of a distinct existence outside of God. We know that our neshama we speak of as a chelek of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. When we speak of our neshama, we're not speaking of something physical. We're not speaking of something that is separate from Hashem. We're speaking of something that really is part of Hashem. Of course, in a certain sense, everything is part of Hashem. There's nothing outside of Him. But when we're in our bodies, so we are as separate from Him as we can be. As separate from Him as we can be. If we would see God, if we would be fully connected and aware of Him, we would have to cease to exist. In other words, we as a separate entity. We would have to be completely nitbatel. We'd have to be completely batel. We'd have to give up our life. We'd have to stop living. Not stop living. We'd have to stop living as a separate entity, right? The more we're aware of God, the less we are free agents. It's just the reality. The less we function as free, separate entities. That was the level of fear that Yitzchak had, dargat ri'ya, the ability to be so aware of God that he could see him almost, and he was with him, and therefore there couldn't really be a Yitzchak. And then he's going to say something, but there was a Yitzchak, no? Maybe not. We'll see. You never knew this, but we'll see. Reb Shimon Omer b'sha'ashenekad Yitzchak nasa einav l'mala v'ra es hashchina. Now he gets into some very wild stuff. He quotes the Medrash, who says that when Yitzchak was tied up on the altar, he looked up and he saw the Shechina. Uksiv kol ki lo yirani ha'adam v'chai. And that should have been the end of him, right? Ela tachas hamisa kahu einav la'eis ziknaso. Instead of dying, his eyes blurred, his eyes became, he got terrible cataracts when he was getting old. And Mikana Talamed, from there you see, Shalom Aleichem, so good to see you, Shesuma Choshev Kames. It's a very deep concept. He says, you see from this that a person who's blind is like a person who is no longer here. What does that mean? What does that mean? It's very difficult to understand that. So he's making several jumps. First of all, Yitzchak didn't become immediately blind. He didn't become immediately blind. He became blind at the end of his life. But let's assume that in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's terms, he basically had to become blind. He could no longer use his physical sight at that point. On some level, Yitzchak died. His regular existence in this world died on the Mizbeach. A person who is blind has their freedom restricted in a tremendous level, to a tremendous level. Okay? We, Baruch Hashem, ways they can function, but a person who's blind has their freedom restricted to a certain extent. That was the result of the Akedah. Because he saw God, he could no longer really be a free agent down here anymore, because he was so aware of God. He was so aware of God's presence. And then he says something else. Then he quotes the Zohar. Tikune Zohar, that's what that says. Tikune Zohar Chadash. Mahuto, Ola Tamima. He became a sacrifice. Mitziuso, Betela Legavoa. And his entire entity became Batel to God. Al Tishlach Yodcha Elanar, Chazra HaNefesh Legufo Vehitiro. When the Zohar says that when the Malach tells Avraham not to touch the kid, his neshama came back into him. Amar al Raglav, he was freed from the binds. He stood on his feet. The Yada Yitzchak Tchias Hamesim in HaTorah. Shekol Hamesim Asidin Lechios. He understood what it meant, Tchias Hamesim. So that we may have heard. You probably heard that on some level. We basically assume that Avram stopped short of killing him, but there is a concept that he did kill him and he came back to life in a more midrashic, Kabbalistic sense. And I always understood that to mean that they went through with it. It's hard to understand that in the psukim. What does that mean in the psukim? It looks like Avram didn't do it. What does it mean? How did he end up dying? Was he terrified and he came back? They speak of him being ashes on the altar. Ashes. I thought Avram was stopped short of. The whole story is different if Avram did it. So what's going on? V'chein nikra Yitzchak Ketz Chai. Yitzchak is called in the Zohar done living. Finished, basically the living dead. Yitzchak is called in the Kabbalistic sources the living dead. Ola Tamima. He became a sacrifice that was offered. Let me just mute everybody.
But Rabbi,
yes.
The ram that Abraham sacrificed,
Yeah.
that he, every time he went through another part of the sacrifice, he said this is in replacement.
Exactly. So what's going on here?
So he's living, he actually did, I think in his mind, sacrifice
In
his
his
son.
mind, he wished that he was able to sacrifice him. Yes, there's no doubt about it. He was ready, he was there. It was disappointing to Avraham that he couldn't go through with it, which is the level that he got to. He got to such a place of being willing to sacrifice his son that our rabbis tell us that it was painful for him to stop at that point. He already had talked himself into it. He was already going to do this.
Right, but the ram was his way
Of somehow doing it.
God
But the Medrash,
obeying
the
God.
Zohar, takes this to a very different level. Michad afarot savur al gabi mizbeach. On one level, the Yitzchak that we knew was gone. The Yitzchak that we knew was gone. Now we're talking psychology here. Okay, the Yitzchak that came to the altar was basically dead, was basically done. Afarot tzavur al hamizbeach. His ashes are piled up on the mizbeach. Doesn't mean physically his ashes were, but it is as if. It wasn't just that, it was almost there. The experience for Yitzchak was as if he was killed, a different person came down than the one that went up. Umeidach mamshich hulichyos, va'aflaholid tolados. And in fact, he continued to live, and he went on to now have children. So this is the walking dead. Says the Zohar. It's the walking dead. He's functioning like a live person, but there's something about him that's dead. There's something inside that's dead now. Zehu tachlis hakiyum b'midas hadin. This is what it means to live completely subject to the midas hadin. Kiyum v'lo kiyum. A person who's technically functioning here on this world, but has such an awareness, he literally looked God in the face. He looked up from that place. He looked God in the face. He was basically there on the other side already. And once he had the knowledge of what was there on the other side, we're not talking about a near-death experience. We're talking about a death experience, right? People undergo near-death experiences. It's fascinating to hear what they have and say, but they don't describe being with God in that sense. Yitzchak was there. He was there. He saw God. And therefore, a certain part of him, a certain Bechira Chavshas, a certain distance that he had from HaKadosh Baruch Hu was gone. Kiyum v'lo kiyum. Kiyum ruchani l'lo kiyum gashmi. He continues on in a certain sense, but he doesn't have the option to sin like others might have who haven't seen God. Ketz chai. He's living and he's dead at the same time. He says the Maharal. Says the Maharal. V'zacharti es brisi Yaakov, v'afes brisi Yitzchak, v'afes brisi Avraham es kor. It cuts the pasuk in Vayikra from the end of the Telchacha. It says, I don't know how they go. Oh, I see how they accidentally said chabarti. It's supposed to be vizacharti. I remembered the bris of Yaakov, and even the bris of Yitzchak, and the bris of Avraham I remembered. Okay? Lo ne'amar zechira etzel Yaakov. It says he remembered Avraham, and he remembered Yaakov. He doesn't remember Yitzchak. What, he forgot about Yitzchak? Mishum sha'aforot savur al gavi hamizbeach. Rashi says there on the pasuk, because Yitzchak is, you can only remember something that's not with you. Right? Yitzchak, even in his life, was already with God. He was already there. Lo shayeches shikcha b'marechas haruchnias. You can't speak of shikcha when it comes to the ruchnias, when it comes to the spiritual side of him. A certain piece of Yitzchak was already with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shikcha, he told us, shomarechas haguf. Shikcha applies to the body. Shikcha inyanam maves. Shikcha is when something dies. Shikcha is when something disappears. The only things that disappear are physical things. Spiritual things don't disappear. Yitzchak was already basically gone. Yitzchak shekiyumo hu me'ever l'marechas haguf, ketz chai. Yitzchak was basically not functioning in his body. And I know this is difficult for me to understand also. But we have certainly heard of this idea that his ashes are in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is that? Afarot savur al gabi hamizbeach, kiyumo ruchani, ve'ein shikcha lifnei kisei chavodecha. There's no shikcha if he's really that close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yitzchak hu imo yisparach legamrei. Yitzchak is with him completely. Shikha shayachas rach b'davar shistalek v'halach mina ayin nocha chareiya in shikha. If you're that close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't speak of remembering you because there's no way to forget you. And then he says, Yitzchak al shem hatzchok. His name Yitzchak, it represents laughter. What exactly is the role of laughter within our tradition? And he says something which is a little hard to understand because it doesn't seem to reflect the way laughter is usually understood. But it's at least the way we understand when we say, "As yimale sechok pinu." We always say that phrase, "As yimale sechok pinu." Then we'll laugh. What's then? Not when we're excited that we finally finished benching, but when we're excited that we finally made it to the end of time. We say in Shir HaMaalos, at the end of time, there's going to be laughter. Laughter within the mystical tradition is more than just something that's funny. Laughter is a final sort of response of simcha, almost a bursting out, yimale schokfinu, our mouths are completely filled with laughter. Laughter is within our tradition something that's reserved, complete laughter, for a time which is difficult for us to relate to now. We say you're not allowed to completely laugh. There's always got to be something left behind. However, when Yitzchak was born, the world was filled with laughter. In Yano shel Yitzchak, hu machus shel olam haba, hakayemes beolam hazeh. The essence of Yitzchak was the creation of someone who almost didn't belong down here at all. He didn't belong down here. He belongs to another time, another place, the world of souls, a completely different type of entity. And therefore, when he burst into the world, we got a glimpse of something and someone that we can barely relate to. Everybody laughed. Laughter is almost the, what is laughter? Laughter is not joy. Laughter is surprise. Laughter is when something changes, when something unexpected, something that doesn't belong here, suddenly comes up. Yitzchak didn't belong, and therefore it was responded with laughter. In Yanosha Yitzchak, humahus shel olam haba, kayemes ba'olam hazeh. Yitzchak was a person who was olam haba. He was already, his whole entity, even before he went through the Akedah, was a piece of another world. And again, we shouldn't feel so bad that this is hard. This is all hard for us to relate to, because that was the essence of Yitzchak, something that was surprising to find in this world. Umemela etzlo yesh milu yitzchok gam ba'olam hazeh. Hatzchok who shall simcha? The schok is of simcha. We'll leave that. Ach yesh od pan shel schok shehu atzad hasheni shel mabeah. The other side of the coin is there's another type of schok in the midas hadin. Schok also comes when a kaddish baruch who's able to bring the midas hadin into the world. When does God laugh? When does God laugh? Again, the word laughter here is clearly the wrong word. I don't know the right translation here. Because what we consider to be laughter is something that happens when you say a silly joke or you say something. There's got to be a better word that really defines tzchok. Because the famous Gemara tells us that at the end of time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring a Sefer Torah into the world and he's going to say, anybody who kept this gets schar. Anybody who didn't did it. And we all know the story from the beginning of the Gemara and Avodah Zarah. The non-Jews are going to come and say, hey, wait a minute, it's not fair. We should also get reward. You never gave us the Torah, right? Famous story. And Hashem says, wait a minute. If you didn't, this is the reward time now. We're at the end of time. Now you wake up. But he gave them a little mitzvah. He gave them the mitzvah of Sukkah. He tells them to go out, try to do the mitzvah of Sukkah. He made it very, very hot, very strange story, hard to understand. My son Yosef just gave a whole sikha on this in his yeshiva. I could send it over to you. It's a good sikha. He brings out the sun, and the non-Jews say, "Eh, I didn't really want to keep the Torah very much." They kick down their sukkahs. They say, "Forget about it. This is not for us." Miyad HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev U'Misachek Aleihem. God laughs at them. Shenemar Yoshev Bashamayim Mischak. Amar Reb Yitzchak, says Reb Yitzchak. There's no Reb Avram, by the way. There's a Reb Yitzchak, there's a Reb Yaakov. Amar Reb Yitzchak, Ein Schok Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ela Osa Hayom Bilvad. A very strange statement. That's the only day that God laughs. So laughter here is not... Laughter here is an expression of joy that justice was carried out, that things were righted, that things are the way they should be, right? Remember, Yitzchak is about Yira. Yira is about Re'ia, is about things being the way they should be. And at the end of time, things will be the way they should be. Laughter is an expression of joy when one is surprised to see that things are clear and they work out correctly and justice is served. That's Yitzchak. Yitzchak lived in a different reality, because for all of us, that kind of clarity, that kind of laughter, that comes at the end of time, not in our lifetimes. We don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly. We don't see him. We don't see his actions. We don't see his din. We don't think that things are fair. We're all waiting till the end of time to see that. Yitzchak was a rare person who saw God, had such a traumatic incident. He saw the truth. He saw God. He understood how God relates to the world. And that was basically the end of his fun. That was it. His game was basically over at that point. He still lived. He still had children. Many things happened. But at that point, he wasn't a normal person from that point onwards. How often do we see Yitzchak speak in the text? How often do we see him relating to his wife, to Rivka? Forget about the fact that Chazal tell us that they were very distant in terms of years. The distance between Yitzchak and Rivka may have been greater than just the 37 or 26 years that separated them. Yitzchak had been through an incident that changed him forever. Zehu atzchok sheshayach la'achris hayomim la'achris acheshbon shel midas hadin. Sof kol acheshbonos shel Hashem yisbarach alfei shnim. Yitzchok de Yitzchak. All the thousands of years, we're going to get to the point of Yitzchak, and that's what we're going to be. And finally, tfiloso shel Yitzchak hakravas korban. So what does all of this have to do with tefillah? This is a tefillah sefer. So now we can understand how the way that Yitzchak related to HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a type of tefillah. Remember, that's what we said by Avraham as well. Originally, we said that Avraham davened and Yitzchak davened. Avraham davened in the morning, Yitzchak davened in the afternoon. Avraham related to Hashem like a father. Yitzchak related to God like a king, so they stood differently when they davened. Their hands were in a different place when they davened. Their eyes might have been turned in a different direction when they were davened, because they had just a different relationship with Hashem. One saw him as a father, and one saw him as a king. But why were they davening? What does that mean they were davening? We explained that for Avraham, what it meant to be davening was that everything about him was reaching beyond himself to something else. Tefillah wasn't an activity that he knew he had to go. When he went to Gan, he was handed a sitter. He knew he had to do it, and he chose to do it in this way. It was a natural extension of who he was. He reached out to everybody. And he reached out to everybody because he was able to reach beyond himself and get a sense of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was. What about tefillah and Yitzchak? Kafishin is bar b'midaso shel Avram, sheheyos v'hamida shedavak ba, hi haysa hadavar sheba ratza lehishtalim. Umemela hatfila shelo. In other words, through the very thing that animated him, the very trait that animated him, the very trait, these weren't regular people. They were regular people in a certain sense. The Torah doesn't hide the fact that they make mistakes, that they had families, that it wasn't simple. But they're not regular people. They're not regular people in that sense. They were living in a higher plane, and they were living for a higher mission. So, Hisamdu shaloke chaser b'fnei abore yisparach ubeinyan zeh bakashas achesed b'tachlis. When Avraham stood in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he basically asked for what he was providing everyone else. He provided chesed to everyone else, and Hashem provided chesed to him. Kach tfiloso shel Yitzchak tovaz din. Yitzchak tova yisurim. Tfiloso hi b'tachlis hayira mesiris nefesh b'chinas korba. When Yitzchak stood up in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he set himself up as a korban every time he did it. He set himself up as nothing. The act of tefillah for Yitzchak was an act of being completely subservient to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that required him, whatever else he was doing, to stop, to stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to be subservient to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to realize that everything he has is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why is it that we stand with our legs together? So one reason is because we want to emulate the angels. And that's one thing to think about when you put your legs together in tefillah, that I'm now standing in a place that angels should be. But another reason, and the reason probably why angels have one leg and not two, the reason why angels don't sit, they're just in, because angels are in a constant state of being right before God. If I have two legs, it shows the fact that at a moment's notice, I could duck out. When I put my legs together, I'm basically saying, I am stuck here. I am tied here. I am ne'ekad. I'm like Yitzchak. For the next few minutes, I am bound. Because on some level, I really am. I forget about it since the last time I davened. But now, every couple of hours, I have to stand in front of him and imagine yourself like Yitzchak. Have you ever tried that? Put your hands together. Your feet are already together. And imagine that you're Yitzchak. It's not a very stable position to stand in. I don't know about you, but I've almost fallen many times when I took a bow. Maybe I need to go back to my trainer, but I've almost fallen a number of times when I took a bow. It's not the most stable position. We all know that when you're going to take your golf swing, you're going to want to spread your legs a little bit and get comfortable and get stable, right? That's not a stable position to be in when you're standing on with both legs together. But it's not a stable place you're in when you're standing in front of God. The point is you don't have your own ability to stand. You don't have your own ability to be secure. You're batel in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that was the midah of Yitzchak. Yitzchak.
My partner.
Yes.
It's Sophia. So I actually want to add to what you're saying, because I never thought about this, but it's almost like you're being bound.
Yeah, it's almost like you're being bound.
You're
not a free person when you're standing in front of God.
So it's like almost like our own akeda.
Yes.
Each time, yeah.
It's almost like your own akeda. On the one hand, it's the most uplifting opportunity to go in front of the master of the world and to ask him for anything that you need. That really feels like he's your father, because you wouldn't be able to do that with a king. You wouldn't be able to go to a king three times a day and ask him for everything that you need. That makes him seem much more like a parent. But at the same time as you're channeling Avraham and you're having this close relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're also channeling Yitzchak, because you're standing there bound. You're standing there like Yitzchak. You're getting maybe a better glimpse of Hashem, not the glimpse that Yitzchak had, but probably a better glimpse of Hashem than the one you had for the last 4 hours when you were running around and kind of wasn't as aware of him.
But should we have the feeling of being bound more at Mincha?
Possibly, yes. Possibly, yes. And we'll talk about that. We'll end for today, but we'll talk about that next time, why it's specifically at Mincha that we relate to our weakness, to our limits. It's specifically then. And we talked about this a little bit when we talked about what the afternoon means and finishing the day and finishing the work day. And so, you know, it's almost like we start the day like this as Avraham and we end the day like this as Yitzchak. It's very possible. And that's why it probably does make sense to stand in a very different way when we daven Shachris than when we daven Mincha. But we have two small sections left here, which will really get into what it means that he was a korban, what it means that we offer korbanos, based on Yitzchak, and Bli Neder. We'll try to do that next week, and then the following week probably. Maybe we'll start with the mix that becomes Yaakov. Okay. A good day, everyone.
Thank you so much.
I'm sorry. I'm doing. I really am. I'm not saying this out of anivas. This is very difficult. What we're trying to get through now. I'm doing my best to grapple with it as you are, but we all understand that we're hitting some major truths here. It's just a question of trying to understand it. Okay. Have a good day. Good night.
Thank you.
Bye.